What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of The Bad Podcast. Are you pregnant? Did you just have a baby? Well, stay tuned for this episode. We're going to talk about some stuff, man. Brad, what are we going to talk about today?
You talk about the hook of all hooks, man. That hooked everybody. Wait a minute. What? Man, we're going to talk about leadership today. So I got this cool quote. Great leaders don't set out to be a leader. They set out to make a difference. It's never about the role, always about the goal.
I love it, man. Let's get it.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job. Mental battles. Mental battles.
Hey, man. Eat your meal for life, baby.
Episode of The Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne, and man, super excited to be back behind the mic with my brother, man. We are kicking it, man. This is actually going to be episode 91. We're coming up on Hundy.
Hey, when we get that Hundy, we got to give out some Eager Ray ones, baby. You already know. Hundy, we're giving out some Ray ones. Come on now.
There we go. All right, so stay tuned for that. So, Brad, man, who we got in here with us today? They actually almost, well, you're not in the right place. I'm about to say, they almost sit beside you. You're not in the right place right now. Who we got with us?
Man, this is a good friend, and we've actually known each other for around 15 years, and a lot of people don't know that because of the relationship that we have through E2M, but we have too many ties from our old days, but this is my friend Marissa. Marissa, tell us a little bit about yourself and give a proper introduction.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Marissa Salemi. Like Brad said, we've known each other for a long, long time. And I am the postpartum coach for E2M. And I'm actually a full-time occupational therapist. And I have a pregnancy and postpartum exercise specialty certification. I've got a personal training certification. I've got all kinds of stuff under my belt under there. Three kids at home, crazy busy life. I do it all.
I like it, man. Qualified in several areas of life. And that's Dwayne, that's kind of where we're going to steer the conversation today. You know, our quote, and I'll read this, Marissa, so you can hear it. Great leaders don't set out to be a leader. They set out to make a difference. And it's never about the role. It's always about the goal. And, you know, you kind of use those words in the sense of you are in a leadership role as mom. Can you tell us a little bit about your E2M journey and why it's so important to be healthy and fit for your little ones?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually joined E2M after I had my second son, Leo. I had been working out on my own. I just wasn't where I wanted to be. It didn't feel right. I needed a little something extra. And I had a sports background. I'd always been an athlete. I'd always worked out, but I just needed something more. And I came across E2M and I thought it was interesting. So I talked my husband into doing it with me. And we just fell in love. We love the community. We loved, you know, I had lost a little bit of weight. I got in great shape and I just started feeling like myself again. And I mean, the rest was history. Like we were in it for years. I developed a relationship with the coaches and Jeff and eventually came on as a coach. But it's so important to be healthy for your kids. And I feel like so many women lose themselves when they have children, but you really need to, it's the opposite. Like you need more energy than ever. You need to be in shape more than ever. You need to be able to keep up with them. Your body has to operate sometimes on a little bit of sleep. So nutrition's important. Working out's important. That mental clarity, because having babies, you go through so much like physically, emotionally, mentally. So I just wanted to be the best version of myself. And then that way I could give the best version of me to my children. And I just found that like the healthiest version of me was my happiest. And then I was a better mother and setting a better example for my children.
That's powerful stuff, D. And we're already starting to hit home runs. And we haven't even been in here for 5 minutes. and you talk about, you know, being the best version of yourself. And a lot of people, you know, what will happen is, you know, all of these things that happen in your life, you know, kids, just for an example, you know, it's not easy being a parent sometimes, right? I mean, I've heard some stories about some of your kiddos, you know, and shout out to my guy, Dom, and Leo, you know, when you have those stressful days, a lot of people revert to old habits and old routines, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important to establish new habits and new routines where, you know, when you have those bad days, instead of maybe stopping by the Wendy's or stopping by the liquor store or stopping by somewhere that's going to fill a void, so to speak, fill that temporary, I need to feel good right now, so to speak. And but you're pouring into fitness, you're pouring into nutrition, and there's almost like a hurdle to get over, right? There's almost like a roadblock, because like, it's so hard to get into that mind space of I need to eat healthy, I need to exercise, I need to pour into myself. But once you start to do that, you almost start to get into a routine and you start to gain momentum. When was that like big breakthrough for you? Because I know, Dwayne, you can attest to it too. Like, we all have those, like that first round, trash bag Dwayne. He talks about it all the time. We all had to fight through those hurdles and obstacles. When was your big breakthrough moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things people need to understand too, is like, we didn't just wake up like this. I wasn't like this. I was very, growing up, I was grotesquely skinny. I mean, I actually remember a time in my life when I was crying to my mom in high school, and she had reached out to a dietitian and asked them how I could gain weight. And because I hated being skinny and I was made fun of for it. And so I was an athlete, but then I got into college and I worked out, but I would work out sometimes, but not all the time. I had a terrible diet because I didn't have to watch what I ate because I had a high metabolism. And then I remember like it started kind of turning for me when I started working out at my old gym, and it was a small privately owned gym, and the owner was intense. She's this little 4'10", nothing, but she was jacked and she was intense. And I remember being terrified of her. And I just, one of my biggest moments was, I remember like I would make excuses not to go to the gym if it was raining, if it was cold, if I was tired, if it was like a Tuesday and I just didn't feel like going. And she always was like, you're not going to get anywhere if you keep making excuses. And so I don't know, she kind of started, my mindset started shifting there. And then I had my babies and I realized like, you can self-sabotage all you want, but the only one you're hurting is yourself. And so then it really escalated through E2M, because when I joined E2M and you see this community of people, and if you stop and you fall back and everyone keeps going forward and you're seeing the results and you're just like, well, I'm not getting those results, but I'm not working for them either, then you realize it's you. It's your decisions. It's your excuses. Until you grasp that and fully take, like, you have to be able to say, like, it's on me if I decide not to do this. It's on me if I'm deciding not to eat the foods and do the workouts and whatever, you know? I do think, though, because I'm coming from a different point or different perspective with, like, the postpartum group, you have to find a fine line, because postpartum life is different. So you kind of got to learn that, like, you have to learn that balance of sometimes I've been in the gym working out and one of my kids came down and threw up all over the floor, you know? So there's a balance there.
I can't say I've seen a guy throw up on the floor, but not a kid in the gym. That's
yeah. I was running on the treadmill and one of the boys, I don't remember which one, came down and just stood there and just had at it all over the floor. And you know, and sometimes you're up all night with a sick kid and you gotta, it's all about life's balances and stuff. But I've learned, like, you either make it happen or you don't. Maybe there's a day that you absolutely can't make it happen, fine. But maybe, like, you have to eat, you make better meal choices, right? Like, you eat healthier that day. You don't just go down this rabbit hole of, like, I'm gonna have 14 ice cream sandwiches because my kid threw up on the gym floor and I didn't get my run in. So you have to learn that discipline. And I feel like for me, it was just doing it over and over and over again and having that healthy community to keep watching, like watching all these people that I wanted to look like. And then I was like, okay, I'm chasing what they're doing. What's the difference between me and them? It's what they're doing. They're not giving up. They're making better choices, you know, and you just do little by little every day and it adds up. It's like any step up you take is a step up. It doesn't matter if it's a half a step, a quarter step, a full step, you're still moving forward.
Boom. Boom. Listen, you know, I just did a live recently and I talked about progression versus regression, you know, and a lot of times so many of us will get to a certain point in our lives, whether it's fitness or our profession, and we just stop growing because we stop like having that, you know, that desire for more, right? And we all know where we need to go and what we need to do. Deep down inside of us, everybody knows that I have to go in that direction, but we go lateral. We go left, we go right, because what happens is when you're looking at that straight path, the straight path ain't that straight, right? There's peaks and valleys. There's a lot of darkness, some lightning bolts, all those crazy things. And when we look lateral at sunshine of rainbows, the straight path is windy, beautiful roads through Hawaii, all those cool things. And that's where we want to go because it's tempting to go that way. But deep down inside, we all know that we're going to have to fight, plain and simple, fight, you know, some days harder than others, plain and simple. And, you know, when you talk about these fights, right, these little minor battles or temporary battles, one of those battles would probably be a day that your kids were sick or the ice cream sandwich throw up day or whatever. What's another obstacle that you've had to overcome in your fitness and professional career the last handful of years?
Oh gosh, what obstacles do I not?
Where to start?
Time management, I think, is a huge one too. One of the biggest things with me was I always had the mindset, and I don't know why, that if I didn't have that hour to hour and a half of time carved out for my full workout, I wasn't doing it. And I've just learned that you make it happen, right? Like I never was a morning workout person. Now I'm at the gym at 4:30 in the morning, 2 to 3 times a week. You have to just make it happen. I don't want to get out of bed at 4 in the morning when my whole family is asleep and I'm leaving and it's dark outside and I'm afraid of the dark. Like, I don't want to go, but you get up and you move, right? Like you just get up and put one foot in front of the other and you make it happen. You get there, you feel better about it. Because people ask me all the time, how do you do it all? How do you do it all? And I'm like, time management, you make it happen. I have to go to bed a little bit earlier. I get up, I go to the gym first thing in the morning, because then that way, no matter what life brings me that day with my kids, it's done. It's done. I have the mental clarity. I have the energy, right? Like I can take on whatever that day is going to bring me. And believe me, every day it's something. It's never easy. I have 2 jobs, 3 kids. We're fully involved in sports 24/7. I coach, I'm on a board of directors. Like it's just always something. So time management was a huge part for me, because you can only say so many times that you don't have time for something. Like, well, I don't have time to work out today. Well, you have 20 minutes, you have 10 minutes, right? Like I had to learn sometimes my workouts were going to be a half an hour. So I upped the pace and I made it worth my while. Like work out as hard as you can for a half an hour instead of checking and scrolling your phone between every set to make it an hour and a half workout. So optimizing my time was just like a huge thing for me. I am very, I have like lists all the time of what I got to do. Even just to get here today with you guys, the amount of stuff I had to prioritize ahead of time and plan out was ridiculous. It's probably more than one person does in a day, but I'm here and I made it happen, and that's life, right?
Mm-hmm. And Dwayne has very, very close relationship with that time aspect, because Dwayne, you're not very busy, but some days you are. optimizing your timing, being efficient, like you said, you know, you grab that cell phone and how many people will hit one set of bench press and then they'll be on their cell phone scrolling. Hey, I like that picture. I like that picture. I like that picture. And they're just not efficient with your time. And Dwayne, drop in here and, you know, you can relate to this efficiency with time, because I only know a couple of people that are more busy than you, my friend.
Yeah, man. No, that's spot on. And that is the exact reason why I work out so early. It's almost impossible to get it done during the day. I've been fortunate. So just real and transparent, y'all about to get all the tea, man. About 14 days ago, I took a cleanser, man, because I felt, you know, like I needed to make some stuff move. And so it actually messed up my morning workouts. Like I could not go in the mornings because I was going in the morning. And so my wife, man, appreciate her so much. She actually she found a time for me. She was like, hey, I'm gonna take the girls to dance at this time. That's the perfect time for you to go. And it worked out, man, because like you said, Marissa, we don't stop, man. There's so many things and so many, you know, and I love what you said about, you know, how many times will you say that you don't have enough time? Well, the answer to that is a lot of times. I know plenty of people that say it all the time. And the first thing that I ask is, like you mentioned, is, you know, how much time you spend on social media? You know, are you watching Netflix? You know, are you sitting on the couch at any time? You know, and I also have to shout out Premium, you know, because if you only have 15 minutes, you can get a really good workout with E2M Premium. And so, yeah, definitely in that same boat when it comes to time and not having it and taking advantage. And I sacrifice, I mean, I'm sure I don't get enough sleep, but I want the physical aspect of like literally lifting weights. So I sacrifice some of that time so that I can hit the gym.
Yeah, I actually forgot. I didn't set an alarm and I didn't go to the gym yesterday morning like I was supposed to. And I was there last night till 9:30.
Yep.
And that means, you know, I missed, thankfully, like I have a supportive husband, which really helps. I helped get the kids like kind of fed and set up for bed. Kev took care of putting Amelia to bed, but it's like, I missed bedtime with Amelia and, you know, I had to sacrifice some things at home to make it happen, which is okay. That's fine. She can have her daddy time, but like, I didn't want to be at the gym at 9:30 at night. That's bedtime, but I had to make it happen because I didn't set my alarm. And so it's just a give and take. Like sometimes there's a lot of sacrifice involved and people don't understand, like, and especially women, as you have children, like there doesn't, you know, your child doesn't turn two and all of a sudden you just have this like aha moment of you have time now. There's never going to be time, you make it. And if you can sit on, you know, and nothing against my mamas, but if you can write on a post, like, I don't have time to work out, and you're sitting there replying to all the comments, like, honey, you could have done a premium workout. You know, so I just try and explain that to like the moms that ask me, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, listen, you just move forward, like get up earlier. I don't want to, you don't want to get up. If it means something to you, make it happen. It, you know, everybody can make stuff happen when they want to, right? Like if you want something bad enough, you want that Starbucks, you're going to figure out how to get to Starbucks with your girlfriends for 2.5 hours to talk about things that happened 20 years ago, but you better get your butt to the gym because it works both ways. Like you can make this happen. You just have to want it.
I feel like you're talking directly to somebody.
No, I've been around. I hear enough that like, like I said, I try and find my balance because I can be a little intense sometimes. Like, listen, honey, just do it. But I try to be understanding because I've been through it with like little kids and I get it. It's hard. But you know, you just want it bad enough. I was an excuse person. I was. And I've learned to come through that. And the world of difference it has made for me is just astronomical. And I'm not saying it's easy every day. It's like you're working at something, but that's life, right? Like we're always working towards something. My goals change. I just changed them recently. I just upped my workouts again. Like you just got to grow, got to evolve. If you're not growing, you're not changing, you're not growing, you know?
All good stuff.
it really boils down to what your values are. You know, what do you value in your life? And, you know, you said something about a sacrifice. You know, you didn't get your kiddo time at nighttime. And I don't really look at that as even a sacrifice. I mean, you might miss out on that little moment, but that little moment is it is very important. But it may not be as important as, you know, your fitness in that long game. You know, and that is something right. That's really yep. important to you. And it's also important to show your daughter and your boys that it's okay to make those investments. And I always teeter with that investment sacrifice thing, because a sacrifice, in my eyes, a sacrifice doesn't really necessarily give you back a product or a reward, but an investment on the other hand gives you back a product or a reward. So, you know, when you say sacrifice, I say investment, because that's going to give you something 3, 6, 9 days, 3, 6, 9 weeks, 3, 6, 9 years from now. And those times with your daughter and your boys, those are important. But so is your health. So is your fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're one of our, you are our postpartum coach. Can you tell us a little bit about your role and just what you do with E2M postpartum?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot that we have going on over at that page. We have women from all different walks of life, from literally like there's women that kind of join pregnant to check out the page, but we don't actually train them. It's kind of like they get all that information ahead of time. Then we have women that have just had babies that are kind of trying to bridge that gap. I'm trying to help women bridge that gap between whether you were fit or not before you got pregnant. Your body goes through a lot of changes, mental, physical, lots of stuff. It's confusing. It's scary. And some women just don't know how to go back to working out after they have babies. And unfortunately, society as a whole kind of drops the ball with like helping women in that regard, like the medical fields and stuff. You go to a doctor appointment at 6 weeks, you're told you're good to go, but there's a lot of stuff that comes after that. Like you can have separation of your abs, which is diastasis recti. You can have pelvic floor issues. A lot of stuff that women don't understand isn't normal and can be fixed, because we as women just, we just keep going because we have to. And especially as a mom, like you just go, you put yourself last and you live with these physical ailments. And some of them are embarrassing, painful, no matter what it is. And they just think it's normal because we had kids, right? Like, oh, we had babies. Like, you're just going to be like this forever. So I offer core strengthening exercises and classes for women if they have pelvic floor issues. So some ladies live with like urinary incontinence and stuff after they have children and they think it's normal and it's not. And there's help out there for it. There's pelvic floor PTs, or you can start off with these types of classes, and, or they have the separation of their abdominals, which can lead to you having like lower belly pooching and hip pain and back pain and all sorts of really crazy stuff that you would never attest to. Like, a lot of women don't understand it comes from this and that there's help. So it's really important after you have children to, you have to rebuild your body from the inside out and really heal that core. I mean, when you have a baby, like, I know you guys have not had babies, but your wives have, and you'll see it firsthand, like your spinal, like the curvature in your spine changes, your hips change, your core. 100% of women in the third trimester have a separation of their abdominals. There's like a connective tissue that goes down the middle and it literally separates. 100% of women have that. Not everyone goes back without help afterwards. So you're literally living with a separation in your core. And you know, you can have the hip pain, the back pain, pelvic floor issues, a tight pelvic floor, weak pelvic floor. So that's where the urinary incontinence comes from, all that stuff. And you know, you have lax ligaments. So there's a relaxin hormone that is released that relaxes everything so you can have the babies, and that doesn't go back right away. So a lot of women will jump back into exercising and get hurt because they don't understand that their ligaments are a little more laxed and their muscles aren't as strong as they once were. So you just have to be conscious of a lot of that. And then there's breastfeeding. You know, so if you're trying to eat healthy, you have to understand like what you can have as far as like, you know, you still have to be bringing in certain calories for breastfeeding. So we offer breastfeeding diets that were like made by dietitians and stuff. So it just helps to have people, like I have my certification where I can help with all of this exercise specialty stuff, and I've lived it. So I'm coming from this coaching position as someone who has lived this three times. And I would say I've lived it three different ways. Dominic, I was completely clueless. He's my, you know, the oldest. I had no idea about any of this stuff. And I went to the gym. I was cleared on a Friday at 6 weeks. And I was at the gym with Dominic in tow in a carrier at the next day. Leo, I also didn't know. And Leo was a huge baby. He was over 10 pounds and he wreaked havoc on my core. And I was struggling and couldn't figure it out. So I decided to get educated on my own about like why my core was so messed up. And that's how I started getting into this role. I taught myself and I healed myself. And then I went into Amelia knowing what I know now and what a difference my pregnancy and postpartum life was. So I'm able to bring my expertise and knowledge, like what I've lived through, to these women to help them like go through this journey, understand they're not alone, and help in a really the most confusing time of their life, how to kind of find themselves again and like understand that there's help available and that they don't have to live with these things, and like we can help them. And I actually have doctors in my group and pelvic floor PTs. And one of the doctors, she's an OBGYN. She said, we didn't have training on this. So she even like appreciates what we have to offer in the pelvic floor PT as well. So she loves the group and they approve of it. And they say, this is amazing. And they just love what we have to offer these women. And I've had thousands of women come to me. I've actually had like women come to me and say that they didn't have to have surgery, which was amazing to hear after joining the group. So
that's all. I remember when, I remember when you joined me on a live one time, and the number one thing that happened was you mentioned how it is not just for new moms. Like, you know, if you ever had a baby, you got trauma. And so it could be trauma that has gone years without treatment. And I promise you, anytime women complain to me about, I can't lose this pouch, I said, you need to join the postpartum group. Like, you need to get over there. Marissa, let her help you. You know, just touch on that part, man, for those that are even outside of E2M that are watching this or listening to this podcast, on how it just doesn't apply to new moms, but any mom.
Yeah, so any woman. And actually, honestly, men can have DR too. So if there's a man that's had like a bigger belly and stuff, because I actually had a couple men approach me at the conference last summer and came up and hugged me and said, thank you so much. The one man told me he had had back pain for 25 plus years and his back had never felt better because his wife had him doing my exercises. So as far as E2M goes, like, we only have women in the group just because of the sensitive information, but we can definitely offer some DR stuff if men are interested. But they, so it's for anybody. It doesn't matter how far you are postpartum if you've had a child, because if you have to think of, like, your core operates like a canister. So when you have DR and you have that separation, you're pushing out on that center area. That's not, so that pressure is not being managed properly. So when that's happening, you're just basically re-injuring it over and over again. So that's where, like, if you can't properly connect to your core and you're bending over and picking your kids up, your grandkids, you're at work, you're picking up the dog, no matter, laundry, dishes, and you have all this back pain, you've gone to chiros for years, PT for years, and you can't figure it out, it can absolutely be related back to your pelvic floor and your core. And everyone has a pelvic floor. It's a sling of muscles at the base of your pelvis that it stabilizes your spine and your core and stuff. So anyone can benefit from these exercises, and there's nothing magical about them. It's just that they're more slow and controlled, and they really engage your transverse abdominals and stuff and teach you how to properly use your core, because a lot of people don't breathe properly too, which is a huge part of it. So a lot of people are shallow breathing. And when you're doing that, you can excite your fight or flight response. And that's why a lot of people have tension up in their neck and shoulders. They're using accessory muscles to breathe instead of breathing with their diaphragm. So diaphragmatic breathing is huge, and managing pressure, because when you're not managing the pressure in your core, a lot of people end up with hernias, especially men, because they're bearing down on their pelvic floors instead of breathing properly and lifting up in the pelvic floor when they're bearing down. So it just, there's so much science behind it. I won't go down like that route, but it absolutely can help anybody. And I have had like thousands of people reach out to me and just say like, wow, I can't believe I've been doing this wrong all these years. So many women in their 50s, 60s. I even have 70-year-olds in there that have said, thank you so much. One lady was supposed to have bladder surgery and she didn't have to. And she was probably 50s, 60s. She said, thank you. Saved me from bladder surgery. I never knew that this was available and that this was a thing. And these women are sad because they're like, why wasn't this available when we had children? Like, you know, they kind of feel like someone dropped the ball along the way, but they're very thankful. It's a really special place and it's a really special area for anyone, but especially women, because it's just something that we really, truly don't hear about enough, and it can be life-changing. So
I think we should put up a Cash App or something, or like a Venmo or something. She just dropped a handful of dimes for anybody that listens to this episode. So I think, man, that's incredible, Marissa. And that's just what I got, man. That was good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So as we get ready to transition, Marissa, we do what we call our bad podcast little segment that we do at the end of the show. But before I do it, Brad, you sure you're good? I guess so. All right. So the last segment is our Do You Know or Did You Know moment. This is an opportunity for you to share with the listeners something that you may not have said publicly, that people might not know this about you. And I always say, if it's incriminating, make sure the laws of statute are, you know, far enough away so that you don't do that. I know quite a few interesting facts about you, but I'm gonna let you pick your own. But I'm gonna play this video, give you an opportunity to kind of think of it. It's a short video, so be ready, and we're gonna play it right now. Video's over. So Marissa, what is the do you know or did you know thing that people might not know about you?
You weren't kidding about that video. I thought I was about to have like 10 seconds to think of something. No. Let's see. Do you know? How about, here's a fun fact. I think I told you guys this. Did I tell you I wore leg braces when I was little?
I've heard that story in passing. Like, you were telling somebody else, and I just happened to hear it. I got the whole Forrest Gump thing in my mind, but go ahead. Talk about it.
No, really. When Forrest Gump came out, my friends were like, oh my gosh, that was you. So I still have them. They're at my house. They're party favor. We were actually, my husband and I were, Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump for Halloween a few years ago. And he carried, I was Lieutenant Dan, by the way, I'll show you the picture sometime. And he carried my leg braces on his shoulder. But yeah, so I was actually born with one of my legs turned in significantly. Mm-hmm. I have a little scar on my chin because I used to fall on my face all the time. So my parents had to get me leg braces, and there was like a belt with cables and feet attached. And I've always had issues with my hips. Like, they've always been weak and weird because what the shoes did was it took my leg from turning like in to making them like this. And I've always had hip and back issues, and I've always just been so skinny and whatever. But until I really started concentrating on like strengthening everything, like especially my glutes and everything, now I'm better than ever. Like, my hips are better than ever. So it's just kind of like a nice little story to remind people. And I'm getting into running. Like, no matter what life throws at you, there's just always a way. Like, you can work your way back from anything. Muscles change, bodies change, you can adapt. So just don't give up. If life throws some curveballs at you and you think this is it for you, like, it's never the end. There's always a way to change. And that's coming from a therapy side of point or point of view too, because I'm a therapist. So yeah. So I like to tell people that because I think it's just interesting to know that I came from that and now I'm at where I'm at.
You're killing the game. I love it. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Brad, what you got in closing, brother?
Hey, baby, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.